Welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together for the first of our midweek Latin services. Rejoining the order of worship contained in your service folder, I invite you to stand. Now is the time of God's favor. Turn us again, O God of our salvation. May your justice shine like the sun. We remain standing as we sing hymn 423, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, hymn 423. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation. And we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. We join in the responsive reading of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who satisfies you with good, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, as a father shows compassion to his children, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading is recorded in Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We hear from the 20th chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." This is the word of the Lord. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. We continue with our theme hymn. It is hymn 934, "My Soul Now Magnifies the Lord," hymn 934. From God, our Heavenly Father, and from our suffering, dying, and rising Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Revelation in the New Testament, printed for you in your worship folder. Jesus said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, "The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is our text. This last book of the Bible is a personal revelation of the risen and ascended God-man, Jesus Christ. He is, in chapter 1, holding seven stars. He is guiding the pastors of his people. He is walking among the lampstands. He is present with his people as they gather around his word in sacraments. In this revelation, John will describe the ongoing battle that takes place between the victorious Christ and the defeated devil. By faith in Jesus, we are winners in this war while also yet fighting daily duels against the devil's weapons. The first readers of this letter are Christians in the city of Ephesus, one of the most important of the cities mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. It is the commercial, cultural, and spiritual center of the Roman province of Asia. Today, that would be the western third of the nation of Turkey. Jesus has good news and he has bad news. The warnings and the promises that Jesus gives 1900 years ago still apply to us today. Jesus talks about our faith life, our good works, our right teaching, the loving of others that we have in Jesus' victory and his promise of eternal life. We're going to start with Jesus' bad news. He says, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. The church in Ephesus began with the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. On his third missionary journey, Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. This was more time than in any other of the congregations that he had founded. It became the home of the Apostle John later in his life. The first generation of Christians there in Ephesus were excited and enthusiastic followers of Jesus. God's love for them in Jesus showed in their love for one another, in their love for sharing their faith with others. But their children, the next generation of believers, had fallen from the heights of this first love. Perhaps faith for them was now just a habit, not a life. They were focused more upon their past works than upon their future potential. Lazy in ministry, lifeless in worship, lacking in worship, in witness, and not living in the faith. They had lost the fire and the desire of sharing Christ's love for them with those who were around them. This is a temptation, though, that tugs at us all, isn't it? To take for granted the new people that our God has made us to be. We don't appreciate the family of faith that God has given to us here in our Christian congregation. We don't see the opportunities that God is giving to us to share Jesus within our families, our neighborhoods, our community. We don't support the mission of spreading the gospel throughout the state, across the nation, and around the world. Repent, Jesus says to the Ephesian church in our text. He says, if not, you're going to lose the privilege of being God's people. Their lampstand, their congregation will be taken away from them. And so it happened. There is no active Christian church in the city of Ephesus now. Repent. The word echoes over time and over space to us today. We are to go back to our beginning. We are to do those things which were important to us when we first learned of God's saving goodness to us in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But Jesus also has good news and compliments for the Ephesians. Their works of faith are seen as good by God. They had been strong in their confession of the Christian faith when unbelievers pressured them. They had not gotten tired of being the people of God in Jesus Christ and letting others know about it. Jesus may not speak such compliments to us, but he does use other people to let us know. They let us know that they have been blessed by our display of the Christian faith for them. Others are grateful when we live a life for their good and for the glory of God. Paul had warned the Ephesians that false teachers would come among them. They paid attention to his warning. They tested the teaching of self-proclaimed preachers, and they compared it both to the Word of God and to the teaching of the apostles, Paul and John. They rejected the teachers who were false. One group is called the Nicolaitans. We know very little about them. They did, these false teachers, encourage Christians to compromise with the world, to go along in order to get along, to live like unbelievers. While we do not hate those who go wrong, we do hate wrong works. True love is to reject errors. But it is not the spirit of our times, is it? We are told today that we are to be tolerant, to let others do harmful things, but that is not the loving way to live. God's kind of love is to warn people of the error of their ways and instead to show them the truth of God's word. The Ephesians knew that the Christian faith is not a hobby, but it's a life, one that is lived differently as a disciple, a life lived as holy, special, set-apart people, the people that the Holy Spirit has made us in our baptism. This life does not go over well with those who want us to live down to their selfish and sinful level. Their pressure, insults, ridicule are the devil's attempts to drag us down with them. We endure tough times for Jesus' sake. Others hate us because they hate our Lord. Others want nothing to do with us because they despise our Savior's presence in our lives. Jesus ends his message to the Ephesians with a blessing that he offers to all who hear and obey the words that the Spirit speaks. We have a great gift of God's grace coming to us, victory over sin and death and the devil through our Lord Jesus Christ. We get to eat of the tree of life. That's a right that was taken away from Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 because they disobeyed God's one command. By eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they brought pain and suffering and death into God's perfect creation. For their own good, God would not let them eat from the tree of life and live forever in a sinful and rebellious world, a life in which they would get older and older, weaker and weaker, sicker and sicker, with no way out of it. God had a way out of sin for them, the sacrifice of his own Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. Throughout the New Testament, the Greek word for tree used here is the word that the apostles used in their preaching of the cross upon which Jesus died. God's way of eternal life for us is through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This life is paradise, a paradise lost by Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, a paradise won for us by Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. This paradise is given to us by the way of our physical death, when Jesus will call us out of this world and then call us into the visible presence of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You might know that the winner of the Indianapolis 500 auto race drinks from a bottle of milk in the victory lane. Well, the victor over sin, death, and the power of the devil gets to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. This is the promise that our Lord Jesus Christ makes to us as his Spirit is among us with words that our ears of faith hear. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue by singing our hymn of response as printed in your worship folder. We will sing through it twice. From the Passion History of our Lord Jesus Christ as drawn from the four Gospels. Tonight, part one, the Lord's Supper. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified." Then came the first day of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" He said to them, "Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it just as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When Jesus had done these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, dumbfounded, about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to him, "Ask who it is of whom he is speaking." That disciple, who was reclining on Jesus' chest, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it." He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." No one at the table knew what the purpose was of what Jesus had said to him. Because Judas kept the money bag, some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and at once he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me." This ends this portion of the Passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue our worship with the litany as it is printed in your worship folder. I invite you to stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pastors and teachers in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all our public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present, who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord.
To you,
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated. We sing as our closing hymn, hymn 891, O Light Whose Splendor, hymn 891.